I like this roster.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is firing with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, the king of Newport Richie. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and everybody's got to get to Bill Curry Ford this weekend. You know you need a vehicle. You know you want a vehicle. You know you're thinking about a new vehicle. You know you're thinking about your kid or your significant other's new vehicle. Maybe you're helping out dad buy a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there. GM Sean Sullivan, he is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, but he's also the kingpin at Bill Curry Ford. He's the big boss. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket. Just ask for it. But more important, you can reach him on email, Ira. He's there for everybody with car questions, financing questions.
Never too busy to answer you. Never too busy.
Absolutely not. NFL draft questions. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Service is now open 7 days a week, so check out Bill Curry Ford for that. They got mobile service. They'll come to your home. They're at the do-it-all dealership a mile north of the stadium. So everybody's got to get there, Ira. It's a great weekend. You're going out to watch the Rays. Head up to Bill Curry Ford on Saturday. Why not?
Bill... 5 minutes away.
Exactly. Beautiful. BillCurryFord.com. And we've all got Bill Curry Ford vehicles.
Yes, we do.
And we take great pride in that. 6 years. I just got a little email, Ira. 6 years on my used vehicle I
bought. I got about 5 years.
And Sean wants to buy that vehicle, but I'm not letting him.
I disregard those messages, but they want that vehicle.
They
want
to buy your vehicle, and you don't have to buy a car to sell them your truck or sell them your car. Sage, we're here in Newport Richie, your stomping grounds, our new hangout here. And it makes me think of Florida's Elite Restoration because they're based here in Pasco County, but they service the entire Tampa Bay area. They're family owned and they go across the state. So if you have water damage, flood damage,
mold,
storm damage, water damage of any kind, fire, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration as soon as you find the damage. That's your best thing to do. Don't call your insurance company and give some frantic recorded statement that is going to screw you. Call them. They'll give you a free evaluation at your home, and they will help you proceed. If you need their services, then they're going to fight your insurance company to get everything it takes to restore your property, repair your property, whatever you need. Call them first, and they've got a Sage discount as well. Just mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and you'll get $500 back if you sign up with them to do your work.
FA, fair assessment. That's what it's all about.
That's all you want. As you like to say, just be honest. And they're as honest as it gets. They have 5-star Google reviews across the board. You can check them out. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin.
They've done work for Sean Sullivan. And Sean Sullivan swears by these guys.
Yeah, he's endorsed them several times on his Best in Class podcast. Just as a thank you so much for saving me during the hurricanes, Florida's Elite Restoration. So that's always cool. And we're glad to support them the way they support us. Ira, this is exciting. We have got plenty to talk about. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I got a message for our listeners. And I want you people to listen up. Turn up your volume right now and listen to what I got to say. If you don't like this weather, get the hell out of Florida. How do you like that? Get out of Florida. Nice, cool evenings. Nice, cool mornings. And 85 degrees. At 4 o'clock. Lee, who the hell doesn't like that? And I can't stand these people. Oh, I can't wait till July and August roll around and the humidity creeps in and Lee's waving his hand. Lee, are you nuts? Are you crazy? You belong in the Caribbean. What the hell are you doing over here?
No, I do belong in the Caribbean. Can you loan me some money so I can buy a pad there?
I'm sending you a one-way ticket to Jamaica, Lee. How do you
I can think of worse places to go.
Oh, my God. Now, I haven't said that. Do you have a problem with the current weather right now? Is this a
it's
problem
okay,
for you?
But I prefer a little warmer. I'm a lizard, man. In the middle of the summer, my thermostat's 78.
Now, wait a minute. You don't leave the house in the summer. That's number one.
No.
And if you do, you go into your nice, cool car.
And then a nice, cool bar.
And you're not going to go play tennis or go swimming.
Swimming doesn't matter.
Lee, this is Chamber of Commerce weather, Lee.
All right, that's meteorologist Ira Kaufman.
Not Paul Delgado.
Now, here's other things, though.
Ira,
you show up, you don't have any donuts today. That's an immediate downer for me, Steve.
Strike one.
Well, let me mention this then, Ira. We had two new reviews. This touched my heart.
Me again.
They sign their names, or is it anonymous?
Well, no, they have to register. Anybody can't just throw open a review. You got to register with your Apple account and all that.
Am I going to like this?
So these are on Apple Podcasts.
They're ragging on me again?
No, nobody's ragging. Wonderful reviews. We've had nothing but wonderful reviews the last year or so. And the latest review, Ira, which pushed us to 400 total, which is very difficult to achieve. Nobody else locally has 400 Apple reviews.
Wonder why.
You know what the review said, Ira? It's touched my heart.
If it said something about Cosmic Donuts, I'm going to plot something.
5-star review. It said, "The Coconut Donut of Bucks Podcasts."
That's pretty good.
That is good.
That is good.
Very good. So that warmed my heart.
Whoever that is, bravo.
Bravo. And what about the other one?
The other one was good. It was just, you know, more technical, like, very insightful. I love listening to Ira, that kind of stuff.
And Steve, let me start off by saying this.
All right.
Besides giving the weather forecast, I am very excited about the owners' meetings.
Oh, yeah, you get free grub.
I couldn't give a damn if they move the kickoff, if it goes in the end zone back to the 35. That's not getting me excited. What's getting me excited
Gracie,
is the opportunity.
Gracie Hunt?
No, to schmooze.
Gracie Hunt?
Yeah, and I can spell the word schmooze, I can. And everybody's going to be around the Breakers. And, of course, Steve and I are not staying at the Breakers because the Breakers, Lee, is $1,600 a night. So we're 10 miles away at a mid-range hotel. But that's okay.
Mine's a little low range, but, you know, Sage doesn't travel like that.
Everybody's going to be there, Lee. Owners, GMs, coaches, and Steve's seen me in action. Whether it's the commissioner or whoever comes down the pike, they all got a word for the Sage. And they might have Cosmic Donuts out there for dessert.
It is one of the more unique events in sports because they allow media types to mingle with the billionaires.
Slobs like me?
Exactly. It's crazy that they let us do that.
But you don't come out with a tape recorder and do an interview. You don't do that.
And then you've got the GMs and the coaches there at this big party, and they're all on good behavior because the owners are around. So it's a totally different vibe.
So they got to watch their drinking that night.
Well, not necessarily. A lot of times they relocate to a different bar or whatever, but it's a bizarre event. I don't know if it happens anywhere. I don't think it happens at the baseball winter meetings where you've got, you know.
Tell the story how we were talking to Joel Glazer a couple of years ago, and Clark Hunt, defending champion Chiefs, comes wandering by and comes into our conversation.
Well, as you said, Ira, there's no intentionally at this party, no phones allowed. You can't bust out a camera. There's no recorders. It's all sort of what happens at the party, stays at the party kind of thing.
There's a band playing in the background.
Band, usually 16, 18-piece band. Whatever you think a billionaire party might look like, this is kind of a low-end billionaire party.
Outdoors, at the pool.
Outdoors. So the important thing for Bucks fans is that a lot of news is coming next week. Todd Bowles is going to be talking sits at a breakfast. Ira chewing on his sausage links, talking to Todd.
He's over there having alfalfa sprouts. I can't handle
Bowles?
That. Well, whatever. You know, a whole wheat toast with the cinnamon.
No, he's a Chips Ahoy kind of guy.
I'm over there with the eggs and the bacon.
Ira's like, Dirk Cutter. Hey, Dirk, what's with the plate of fruit? what is that? So, anyway, a lot of news coming for Bucks fans. Jason Light will be speaking. We'll be talking to him on the side. The Glazers will be talking. We don't know in what form.
That's right.
They're very secretive. There's no time yet. There's no one-on-one designation. We don't know what's happening. But
Steve, we'll get an indication of what their expectations are for the 2025 season.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Tell Lee what you think is going to be coming out of this owners' meeting. Do you think Todd Bowles might change his stance on Jamel Dean or Jason Light? What do you think might come out of this?
One thing he has to talk about is this new game management hire and why they picked him. But besides that, I'm not sure Bowles has talked about Hassan Reddick.
No, he's not.
No.
Yeah. So certainly I want to know what role he played in twisting the Light's arm to get Reddick. What he thinks about the draft prospects in general, and maybe some guys in particular. You know, 45 minutes with the coach, with Steve, sitting right next to him, there's going to be a lot of information that comes out. I think, from what I can determine, Lee, if Joe Glazer addresses the media, which I think he will at some point early next week, Steve, I think he's going to paint a very optimistic tone about the expectations for the 2025 Bucks. And why not, Lee? When you look at the rosters around the NFC, the Bucks are in the upper echelon. I would rank them ahead of the 49ers at this point.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I would not say that a year ago. I wouldn't have said it a year ago. Things change. 49ers had departures. The Bucks have every reason to think they're going to be better than last year. And I think they will. So I'm very much looking forward. Lee, when we do this podcast next week, we're going to have a lot of fresh material to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes, we will.
What I want to hear, I've seen drunk sports writers, how they slobber over Jane Slater. I can only imagine what it's like to have Gracie Hunt hanging around with these drunk sports writers. Poor girl.
Steve will snap a few pictures for you, Liam.
Well, I've stood next to her before. I behaved myself.
You behaved yourself?
But I stood next to her, Miss Kansas, Miss Billionaire.
Yes, open bar at that event, of course, and top shelf, I must say. But, Ira, do you think the Glazers, you brought this up and it's relevant, do you think the Glazers will put pressure on Todd Bowles as far as raising the bar? Because the Glazers know what to say. If they start talking about Super Bowl year, or we think this is our year, that's ownership putting a ton of pressure on the head coach. Or they could lower the bar. What do you think they're going to want to do?
Well, I don't think we, you know, it's reasonable to expect Joel Glazer to say, we expect Todd Bowles to win 13 games this year. That ain't going to happen, nor should it happen. I don't think they're going to deflate the expectations out of fear of, you know, wounding. Todd Bowles is a big man. He ain't a child. And I don't think he minds high expectations, Lee. In fact, I think he's going to embrace them. From what I can determine, Lee, the Bucks think going into the draft and picking up a few pieces that they're very close to being serious contenders for a championship. For a championship, not just a division title.
I don't think that's unreasonable. Now, I got to ask you guys something. Maybe I'm way off base. This is more up Steve's alley.
Steve doesn't have an alley.
Yeah, he's got an alley. He's always worried about messaging and things like that. So this is a messaging question. Todd Bowles is not a popular coach with the Bucks fans. For example, last night on Joe Bucks Fan, I saw a guy comment like, you know, the Glazers should have stood up to Bruce Arians and say, hell no, you can't pick, you know.
I saw that.
And I'm like, dude, do you realize without Arians, all of this is not happening? And you can make an argument that there's no Baker Mayfield without Bowles. You can make an argument because Bowles is the driving force to bring Baker Mayfield here. And if you put too much expectations on Bowles, given the fact he's not a popular guy, is that just going to throw gas on the fire with the crazies and the haters, and they're going to be screaming bloody murder, you got a fireball, you got a fireball. Let's say he gets the Bucks get to the NFC Championship game, and the Glazers said it's Super Bowl or bust, they're going to be screaming for the coach's head?
The Glazers don't operate like that, Lee. If they get to the NFC Championship, that's a hell of a year. That's a hell of a year for Buck ownership. It is.
Well, sure. I mean, look, they want to win. I'm just asking you where you think it's going to go. Look, last year we heard Shad Khan, not an example of a great owner in the NFL, he went out there and said, this is our best roster ever. And he was really poured it on. And they
that's why they got a new coach.
They stunk. Yeah. And now they got a new coach. And he backed himself into that because of what he said. I'm just curious, Ira.
I don't think Todd Bowles would mind putting high expectations on this team. I mean, they're coming off 10 wins. Lee, you just saw the predictions. I forgot website.
CBS had him at 10th in the NFC.
Well, but there's another one about NFC South teams, right, and they had the Bucks at 9.5.
Let's get to that,
yeah,
Ira,
as
we sit here, and there are lines out. There are odds makers.
This is before the draft.
The odds makers shape the national media narrative. Let's face it. That's a big part of this.
Yeah.
Big part of it. They help shape it.
Yeah.
So right now, Bucks are the favorite to win the NFC South. Significant favorite.
Significant favorite.
The over-under for the Bucks, I'm seeing 9.5.
That's right.
On the early lines
are
out there. So that wasn't the case last year.
I think 9.5's a little short, Lee. That means they might regress 9.5. They had 10 last year.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And they got easier schedule.
Easier schedule. Got a lot of key guys coming back from injury, like Antoine Winfield, who we don't talk about enough. In terms of can he recapture his form?
Just a little bit.
That's worth a game right there
Winfield
comes back to the Winfield that we know about. I didn't even notice the guy last year when he did play. I didn't even notice
him. He was a shell.
9.5. Now, the major win-loss lines, over-under lines, I think they come out a week or two after the draft.
And is that your buddy
roster
Jay?
Cornegay? Yeah.
At the Superbook.
Yeah. Steve, now you got to remember, things could change with the draft. Certainly, they could change for the teams that are near the top, you know, that are drafting a quarterback. But
those
Steve,
lines,
I think 9.5 is a little low for me.
Those lines don't shift crazy across the league after the draft. They will for the teams at the top, right? If this quarterback's going here, or they didn't draft a quarterback,
or they get Travis Hunter, maybe they bump up.
They
a
might
game.
Move, or all of a sudden, a team that, let's say, the Giants make 4 trades down. And next thing you know, they're picking 27th, and they got a stack of second-round picks. That would lower their number, but it's not going to go crazy across the league.
I think 9.5 is low, Lee, in my opinion.
Just a nugget of information for our short-term investors out there. Jay Cornegay, the guy who runs the book at the Superbook, excuse me, I was told by an executive at MGM properties in Vegas, that the Superbook moves the lines. Like if the Super, whatever, the, everybody bases their lines off the Superbook.
Wow.
So the Superbook is like the king, and whatever the king does, the rest of the books, whether it be MGM, whether it be Caesars, they follow.
Well, this is fun because Ira knows the king, Jay Cornegan.
Yes.
So
I've texted him, and he's texted me back with quotes.
So call him up and say, look, Jay, which way is the line moving? I got to get a bet in. Help people out here in Florida.
Talk to him now or wait till after the draft?
Talk to him now.
Talk to him now.
Talk to him now.
I'm going to text him. I'll text him.
You know, that could be a good column for you as far as the line's moving and that kind of thing with the Bucks.
You know, sometimes he doesn't answer directly in this sense, Lee. Sometimes he'll wait a couple of days and he'll talk to some of his guys.
Yeah.
He's got guys that are deep in the weeds, Lee,
yeah.
and that help, you know, post what the number is. And he'll talk to his guys, and then his answer will reflect what the hell they're saying about the Buccaneers. And you know what? There's value in that.
So, Ira, look. So
I'm bullish on the Bucs.
Isn't Ronnie Barber working for the Superbook? He used to have some kind of marketing deal with him and his brother. A video?
He was doing picks. It wasn't last year. They stopped last year.
Okay.
He did it for a couple of years.
Steve, don't.
Nobody watched it.
Steve, don't I sound a little more bullish on the Bucs than I have been in the past?
Well, you should be. I mean, it's not exactly a hot take to be bullish on the Bucs. They've got four
straight
titles.
Maybe I'm overdoing it, Lee. Am I overdoing it? This is a good football team.
You should ask this question to Joel Glazer next week.
I like this roster.
I know you like the roster, Ira.
I don't like the backup quarterback, and we haven't talked about that.
Interesting.
And it's worth a minute or two.
We've talked about it.
Can I have a guy that's thrown more than 11 passes as a pro? Can I? I'm not comfortable with that.
Maybe they'll add one. They still might find somebody walking the street.
Lee, I know the standard line. If your quarterback goes down, you're toast. You're
pretty
done.
Much.
I'm talking about a 3 or 4 week injury. Can I go 2-2?
Well, I wrote this at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning because I was up watching basketball and, you know, the beast has to be fed. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to feed the beast. Ben Solak, who's a guy I respect, he seems to be a little open-minded, and I respect
who's
that.
Who's he with?
He's BSPN.
Okay.
So anyway, Ben Solak did a thing about what I liked, what a team did in free agency, what I don't like. He was one of the rare guys. He's based in Philly, and most of the Northeast guys, and, you know, they dismissed the Bucks. Including, yeah, like I said, there's a guy from the Northeast from Philadelphia. He had the Bucks as the 10th best team in NFC.
Absolutely
crazy.
Which
is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Solak, one of the very few, maybe only guy I could think of, outside the Tampa Bay area that praised Light for bringing back his good players. One of the rare. So what's the negative? His negative.
I'm sure he wasn't talking about Kyle Trask.
He very much was.
List.
He very much was talking about Kyle Trask. He said, I'd like to see a team be more serious about quarterback two.
Wait a minute. I thought he was praising the Bucks for bringing
back. He praised the Bucks, but he also said, I know this sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but he goes, I'd like to see a contending team take their backup quarterback more seriously. And I think he has an interesting point in that. Now, I'm not a Gardner Minshew fan, but I know Minshew can give you 3 or 4 good games and he falls off the map. Jacoby Brissett was out there. There's a third quarterback. Mac Jones was out there. These are three guys that have had a fair amount of starts in their career.
They have experience, Lee.
Well, not just that. They've had success as well, to a degree.
But they're backups for a reason.
They're backups for a reason, but unlike Trask, these guys have a track record. And at least with Mac Jones, he's been a playoff quarterback. Now, I know this is one of your two favorite subjects, backup quarterback and some two-bit running back who catches five-yard passes out of the backfield.
You mean Charles Sims? There you go.
Yeah, Charles Sims. Those are your two favorite subjects, so I'm teeing you up for Kyle Trask here. Ira, go.
This decision about Kyle Trask and bringing him back, you know what it seems to be? I don't want to bother getting into looking at backup quarterback. Let's just go with the guy we got. I'm not comfortable with it, Steve. I'm talking about a 3 or 4 week injury. I'm not talking about, you know, Baker Mayfield going out for most of the season. Then you're done. With Gardner Minshew, I don't care what you got. You're done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about staying afloat for a month while Mayfield nurses his ankle back to health. That could happen. That's not far-fetched, Steve.
Just me. I don't believe you're done if you lose your quarterback. Now, I'll say this for this reason, and I'm talking specifically about the Bucs, right? So let's say, God forbid, Mayfield goes down in week 9, and you got a Gardner Minshew, and you're 6-3, 5-4, whatever your record is. Let's say 6-3. I think a Minshew, if your backup quarterback is decent and you didn't screw up the pick, you can knock off 2 wins from your total, 1.5 to 2 wins in a mid-season situation. So I think the Bucs can win this division by a couple of games like they did last year.
Plus, now you got a running game.
Maybe 3, right. So specifically for the Bucs, if I see them as a 10-11 win team with Mayfield, Well, I think they might be a 9-win team without him for half the season, and that's probably in the playoffs winning this division.
Are you including Trask in that?
Well, the flip side of that is, while I would have loved to see the veteran in here competing, the Bucks would be complete hypocrites if they brought everybody back because we need continuity on the offense, We were hiring Josh Grizzard, who's 34, to call plays, and we're going to hope it works out because we got to keep the system the same. Then you would think they'd want to bring back the quarterback who knows the system and hasn't proven that he sucks yet, and they seem to trust. How could you not bring back Trask?
But, Lee, Trask was not part in any way of an offense that scored 29.5 points a game. He was not.
Neither Bredesen was.
Bredesen was. So I think Trask is a blank slate, and let some other team sign Kyle Trask. I'm going with a guy with experience. I'm not going to lose sleep over a number two quarterback.
I don't know about that.
But I think they could have done better.
I was unfair to Nick Trask for not having experience when the starting quarterbacks for the Bucks, Brady and Mayfield, rarely left the field with an injury.
That's not fair to Nick him. You're right. But the fact that he's...
I mean, I think that's a good thing. Your starting quarterback's healthy.
Yeah, this thing about knowing the system, I don't know. I think that could be a little overrated. They got a new offensive coordinator. Grizzard could have his own ideas. Could be a new kind of offense a little bit.
Who was the backup that drove Ira bananas? He went to Kansas City.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert knew the system,
well,
didn't
he? Well, he ain't a chief anymore. By the way, they moved on from Carson Wentz now. Now they got Minshew. I don't know why they dumped Wentz.
What is it about quarterbacks and facial hair? People go bananas. I mean, Fitzpatrick sucked.
He was a good backup.
Okay.
But the more you saw him, the more he was exposed.
The more you saw him, the less you liked
him. So that's all we need to say about Kyle Trask. I think they could have done better. Well, you think Mayfield had a part in bringing Trask back? You think Light asked Mayfield?
Sure.
Because he's not threatened.
But I don't think he had to ask Mayfield because they already knew from a day-to-day. Yeah, I like Kyle. He works hard. We got a relationship. He's cool. So I don't even think they had to ask.
All right,
Sage, look, recruiting Baker Mayfield, as long as we're talking about Baker, what kind of ripple effect, Lee wrote a story about this, but I think it goes much deeper. What kind of ripple effect is happening across the league because of the success Mayfield has had? Like, how many teams are really out there? Maybe it's Arthur Blank saying, man, if we just signed Mayfield and if we threw $40 million at him 2 years ago instead of $50 million at Kirk Cousins, we'd be riding high. You know what's going on in New York. Nobody's got a quarterback. It's a complete mess. Pittsburgh, who got to watch Mayfield operate in the division.
They still don't know what's going on.
And he seems like a Tomlin guy. Tomlin didn't want to sign him either. All these teams passed on their shot at Mayfield. What kind of effect has that had? Because it's been historic what he's done.
I think there's a lot of soul searching going on around the league regarding Baker Mayfield. Look, Mayfield looked at the Buck roster, and, you know, he liked the Godwin and Evans. I understand that. They had no running game when Mayfield joined them.
No.
He had no running game. There was no Bucky Irving. But, Lee, my point is, if another team would have made Mayfield a better offer than the Bucks made, or even maybe a little better offer, Mayfield would be with that team.
If he was starting.
So some of the teams that Steve mentioned, the Giants, what the hell are the Giants doing? I mean, they're going crazy. They might draft another guy. I mean, they could have four quarterbacks in there. So many teams looking for quarterbacks. Pittsburgh, like you mentioned, Tennessee. What a bargain Mayfield turned out to be. Now, Lee, here's one thing that's worth mentioning about Mayfield. It's not like the guy didn't have a resume. He had a resume.
Or as L. Davis would say, pedigree.
Pedigree. So maybe put him in the right position. It's not a guy that's never done anything in this league. Maybe you could say that about Winston with the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure Winston's going to start now.
No.
You know.
He won't start with Wilson.
But what a home run with the Bucks and Mayfield. What a freaking home run.
I think it goes down to a subject that I agree with. Well, I don't agree with. And drives Ira bananas. Every time I mention this, it drives him bananas. And every time he mentions it to me, I go bananas.
Edge rusher? No.
The paranoia about picks. Tomlin, you know, Steve brings up Tomlin. This guy's turned into Tony Dungy Jr. You know, he's talking about Jalen Milrow. This reminds me of when Dungy drafted Joey Hamilton out of Georgia Tech. Great college quarterback, fun as hell to watch. He didn't have a snowball's chance in the NFL.
I think Pittsburgh fans they're getting a little fed up.
They are getting fed up.
They are getting fed up.
I just think it's the paranoia of picks. That's why Jameis can't get a job. He produces, but he also has picks. And these guys are so triggered by picks that they would rather have a quarterback who can't throw, but he doesn't throw picks, as opposed to a guy who can throw, but does throw picks.
Steve, on that point, it wasn't like Mayfield threw five interceptions last year, but he had a tremendous season. Nobody's focused on Mayfield's, what was it, 14 interceptions or whatever it was?
You hear it once
16,
in a while.
16. He tied for the league.
No, I don't care. Nobody's thinking about
no,
that.
No, nobody cares.
Mark the tape, as Dumig would say. I don't care about picks.
No, it's not 30. Lee.
Well, that's 30. What I was going to say. 16 is not crazy. The 30 thing for Jameis, I think that's just so mind-numbing for coaches that they can't get past it.
But Lee, 30. I'm the first guy that said Winston could have kept his job in Tampa with two good games.
You're right.
And then Jameis is out last season, you know, publicly on camera saying how he's praying for deliverance from pick sixes. And he's just throwing.
You don't joke about that kind of stuff, Steve.
You know, he wasn't joking. That's the funny part.
Why'd they sign Winston if they knew they were going to sign Wilson?
Maybe they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Well, they didn't know. Plus, he can play. I mean, Jameis, look, if you're going to have a losing season, he'll entertain the fans. He'll be fun. They'll boo him out of Giant Stadium if he throws
three
picks.
And then there'll be a coaching change.
Someone said Jameis is the ultimate red zone star because every time you watch red zone, he's doing something.
Yeah. You can't take your eyes off this guy.
But the Mayfield disrespect continues, Ira. I think it's good because Lee always predicted it would take 2-3 years to get rid of the national
stigma.
Stigma, back of the mind, disrespect for Baker. And so Jason Light at the Combine, he did a sit down for the NFL with Greg Rosenthal. And 4 weeks later, Rosenthal this week, he was doing a segment called Screaming Needs for Each Team. He didn't jump into the Bucs needs because the Bucs don't have a lot of needs.
I don't think they have screaming needs.
They have needs.
Where did he go first? He starts talking about Baker Mayfield.
You better explain that, Steve.
He can't.
What is the guy, 38 years old? You better explain that.
Quoting him, he said, I think they would be in the inner circle of Super Bowl favorites if, like, Justin Herbert was their quarterback. And he just thinks Mayfield is not in the elite circle of quarterbacks or close to it enough to let the Bucs be a Super Bowl contender. Now, he eventually said they need an inside linebacker, but people feel that way out there. And he literally, by his producers who were, like, off the camera, he got booed, he got heckled, and he's like, no, it's not hate, it's just he's not great enough. But there's a lot of that out there, Ira. The guy just threw 41 touchdowns, 71.5% completion rate.
That's an outrageous completion rate.
On top of it.
That's Drew Brees.
Right after a good season.
Ira was almost speechless when you were explaining.
I am speechless. Lee, that's like 3, maybe even 4 good seasons that Mayfield's had as a starting quarterback in this league. This is crazy stuff, Steve. Did he watch the Buck offense last year?
I would say no.
Did he watch the Buck offense? Somebody might say, well, wait a minute. He crapped out in the Washington play. No, he didn't. He wasn't terrible in that game.
Except for one play.
He didn't get enough chances. Give the guy more than seven drives.
Explain that in more detail. You're on to something. How there was only 7 possessions?
They scored on 4 of them. 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals. Give him another 3 and the Bucks win that game. That one's on the Buck defense. They couldn't get off the field.
You don't blame Mayfield for that fumble with Jalen McMillan. Because a lot of people are pinning it on Mayfield.
Well, a lot of people are trying to pin it on Liam Cohn, too. I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. It happens. That play had been successful during the season.
Absolutely.
They hadn't screwed that play up during the regular season.
And by the way, if you look at the All-22 tape, that play was there.
Is Mayfield the best quarterback in football? No. Is he good enough to get the Bucs where they want to go? Yes, of course he is. Come on, Rosenthal, you got to be better than that.
John Gruden, many others have said, wrong call, too high risk of a turnover, which Lee's talked about the obsession to call.
I think that's hindsight.
My hindsight is the play was there. If the play is there, you pull the trigger.
I got a lot more trouble, and this is not hindsight, with the 2 screw-up plays they had on 2nd and 2 when they were driving in for a go-ahead touchdown, and Mayfield carries the ball. I don't know what the hell that play was on 2nd down. And then 3rd down was a terrible play called by Cohn. So I got a lot more problems with that.
That's fair.
Why was Mayfield carrying the ball on 2nd down, Lee? I don't understand.
Busted play, right? Was it a busted play?
Was that a busted play on the 2nd down, 2nd and 2 or something from the 9-yard line? Didn't he carry the ball?
No, he ran left. Yeah, no, he ran. It was a design run.
A design run? Mayfield's better when it's an impromptu run.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Sage. BillCurryFord.com. Everybody's got a shop there now. No excuses. It's on your phone. It's on your laptop. It's on your tablet. BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name that means something. Third generation family business. Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount for you. Bill Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com.
Don't worry, drive Curry. I got that implanted in my brain.
It's amazing how you memorize that, Ira. Don't worry, drive Curry. And never worry because you have Florida's Elite Restoration in your back pocket. Florida's Elite Restoration. Check out their Google reviews online. You'll see 5 star reviews across the board, which is stunning in the restoration business. You just don't find it. It speaks to the great family-owned crew, Josh Martin and friends. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Most of the time, Steve, you know what you hear? Complaints. Complaints on these reviews.
Kind of like you and the Bucks. Hey, we got a good coconut donut review. You can review us at Podbean, like Jelly Bean, podbean.com, or at Apple Podcasts. We hit 400. That was my goal before the summer. We did it, Ira.
That might be my wait in a couple of months, Steve.
All right, Sage, look, the draft is coming up, and you know we got your draft feelings last time, but I put them on a more personal front. So now I'm going to switch it to an organizational front. And don't give me the personal stuff here. I'm talking about you are now telling the world what you think Jason Light and Todd Bowles have decided to do in rounds 1, 2, and 3, their priorities. Doesn't mean they'll get it done, but what is their priority round 1, 2, and 3? And then we'll hear from Lee.
Well, I hate to agree with Isbitz on anything, Lee, but he said edge rusher the other day is still his priority. I think he's right. We don't know 100% that Reddick's going to bounce back with a big year.
True.
We don't know that.
True.
We think he will.
Local brothers.
And I'm not talking about 16 sacks. I'd be very happy with 10 and a half.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go and get drunk.
They're all on defense for me. I know you guys like to talk about wide receiver, but to me, you're talking about a fourth wide receiver right now. Yeah, Evans is going to retire in 3 years. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about this year because I think this is a Super Bowl contender with the right moves, and they've already made a good move with Reddick. So, edge rusher, 19, inside linebacker, and then corner. Now, Lee, I'm getting a little bit nervous, just a little. I need you to talk me off the ledge. But
me?
More and more people are talking about Campbell's injury and Campbell's health status. Should I be worried about that? I don't worry about Campbell, the player. I'm worried about his health status.
Agreed. And here's what I'm worried about. If you think you are a Super Bowl contender, and I do believe the Bucs think that, otherwise they wouldn't have gotten Reddick, and they may not have brought back Godwin. If you believe
that's a good point.
If you believe you're a Super Bowl contender, don't you want your first round draft pick on the field? Now I've been screaming for Campbell as loud as anyone.
Now we're talking Jihad Campbell, inside linebacker out of Alabama.
Yeah. Has a shoulder injury.
Yes. A couple days after the combine, he had shoulder surgery. And it's a mysterious injury. No one knows if he suffered against Michigan. He did get injured against Michigan. Alabama at the time only said it was upper body injury. You know, a typical NHL, you know, dodge.
But he was impressive at the combine, Lee.
He was. So we don't know if he had an injury at the combine, pumping weights. We don't know. It's mysterious. But a commenter on Joe Bucs Fan, I thought, brought up a very interesting point. If you think you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, you want your first-round pick on the field. I think that's very fair. It's not like they're a rebuilding team and, oh, this guy, we think he's going to be the next Dick Butkus. If he misses a couple games his rookie year, no big deal. No, you want the guy on the field. I think that's a very fair argument, and I think Light and Bowles have to weigh, you know, can we get by with this guy? Let's put it this way. Shereen Williams of Pro Football Talk, she initially said the injury could put him on the shelf for 8 months. Well, 8 months, you're talking no OTAs, no rookie minicamp, no underwear football, no training camp. Isn't that a guy's rookie year a wash then? Because he's going to be learning on the job. I want Campbell, but I think that's a very valid point that don't you want your first-round pick on the field if you're going to make a run?
Well, they would do serious research on Campbell's
You would hope so, yes.
Now, Steve, getting back to your point about edge rusher.
Did you answer the question?
Yes. I said edge rusher.
Edge rusher. Okay.
I said edge rusher.
But I didn't answer
now,
the question.
Now, having said that, and I don't want you guys sniping at me, if they move back and pocket another third-round pick, I don't think that's a terrible move.
No.
Now, it goes against Lee's dictum about, well, wait a minute. We got to have help, immediate help over here. Steve, maybe I'm overplaying Light's incredible recent success. You know, I know people slapping me around. Oh, what about all these mistakes he made in the third round in 2017? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the last 5 years. He's hit big. He's hit big on middle round picks. Steve, what I'm saying is, do I want the sixth best pass rusher on my ratings and take him at number 19? I don't think that's necessarily the smart move. If I can move down five spots, even out of the first round, I'm not going to cry about it. If you can get good value out of that, I trust Light on these second day picks. He's good at it.
Now, you told us that Todd Bowles essentially would be driving this pick. I'm not going to say making it, but he'd be driving the first round pick. So you think Todd Bowles is driving. Give me another edge rusher in here to work with. I like these two guys.
Now, you know, Light always says it, and I think he's meant it in general, even with Cutter and other guys. But I think where he says, you know, I really trust my coaches and they have a lot of input. I think Bowles is very, very involved in this draft on the defensive side of the ball. Very, very involved.
Which he should be.
And they're not taking an edge rusher at 19 that Bowles isn't sold on. That's not going to happen.
I agree with that.
That's not going to happen.
So before we pin down Leon, what he thinks the organization is going to do, I just want to say regarding Campbell, I'm not worried about his injury only because it's not his legs. I'd be worried about the legs or something like that. But the shoulder's going to heal. And if they think it's going to heal, he can be in a very high level of fitness. He can even do some things in practice, walkthroughs and all kinds of stuff. He's not going to be hobbled. He's just going to have a bad shoulder. I don't know. If they think he won't be ready till September 1st or something like that to even start practicing, anything but the shoulder, I'd be worried about it.
And, Lee, if he doesn't start in week one, because he's not ready to handle 60 snaps. And I know this is going to sound crazy, Lee, because I don't talk about it much. He could be a terror on special teams. He could be before he's ready to step into a starting role. I like everything about this guy except that bum shoulder.
I was on the Campbell bandwagon for months, and it just the injury gives him pause.
Some people say, some of these Alabama defensive players don't work out. Well, some of them do.
Yeah.
Some of them do.
So,
mm-hmm.
Lee, what
they're not all Mark Barron, right? They're not all Mark Barron.
Yeah, Mark Barron was a good player, but Lovey was too dumb to have him at linebacker.
He went to St. Louis and had a couple of good seasons.
Lee, where do you think Jason Light and Todd Bowles have decided this is our priority position in round one? We may not get it, but this is what we want.
May not get it? You're giving me an out there.
No.
I think inside linebacker, I do. Now, you mentioned earlier, Ira, you know, I'm pie in the sky about, I'm going to butcher his name again.
Egbuka
from Ohio State, who's an absolute Chris Godwin clone. And you were talking about, you know, the Bucs will probably draft, may draft an edge rusher because you don't know about Reddick. Could you not say the same thing about Godwin?
No.
No, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
And I'm not saying Godwin's going to be bad. I'm just saying maybe that injury, he never bounces back from.
No, I'm not worried about that because it's Chris Godwin. He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes. And they did their research, Lee. They wouldn't have brought him back if they had serious questions.
That's a good point.
They wouldn't have brought him back. So
because they had all the medics.
Don't tell me all three of us are in on this edge rusher thing.
Well, no. I said that's what I want.
Yeah.
I think the Bucs, their preferred pick would be a cornerback. I really believe that. I look at Jason Light's body language on Jamel Dean at the combine and him hanging his head saying, well, you know, we got tough decisions. And Jamel.
And Light's not a good poker player.
He never comes out in big support of Jamel Dean. He doesn't
no,
do it.
And us knowing that Dean isn't celebrated across the board at One Buck Place.
Fans don't like him.
Fans are down on him. His play has fallen. He's got an injury history. I don't think Todd Bowles looks at his job like we do. Like, hey, man, this guy's on a potential hot seat. I think Todd Bowles thinks, man, we need a big-time corner in here. And I like Will Johnson from Michigan, if we can get this guy as an example. We can afford to keep Dean. Essentially, the Bucs right now can afford to keep Jamel Dean if they want to overload a
corner. Would you move up three spots to get Johnson and give up a fourth?
I don't know about that.
The Michigan corner?
I don't know about that. But I think the Bucs want a corner because Todd Bowles thinks, well, next year, Dean's probably not going to be here, and maybe Jason doesn't want to pay Zion McCollum $20 million. You know, I don't know. Maybe Zion wants to play with his twin brother if he can pull that off or go back home to Texas, and he's a big Texas guy. I don't know. I think Todd Bowles' mindset is, and keep in mind he's still a defensive back at heart, and, man, if I can get one of these stud corners, I will coach him up.
Now, Ira, did you not hear, and if I'm speaking out of turn, slap me around, did you not hear that within the walls of One Buck Palace, Jamel Dean does not have a consensus support. However.
That is correct.
However, the key guy in his corner is Todd Bowles.
Seems to be.
That's a pretty important factor.
That's another big topic for Bowles when he sits down at breakfast. Steve's going to drill him on Jamel Dean.
Not you.
Drill him. I'll be over there with Raheem. Let's see what Raheem says about the dirty birds over there. By the way, Steve. And you got to check this out for all our listeners. If Arthur Blank happens to amble by while we're talking to a Glazer, would you definitely be within earshot and make sure that he doesn't call me Irv and he calls me Ira?
Oh,
would you do that?
He wouldn't call me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because we can sort of reset that famous story. But I think it's relevant this year more than ever. But I just want to say our JoeBucksFan.com poll of fans. We asked fans this week what their priority for the Bucks is in round one of the draft. 41% inside linebacker, 28% cornerback, 24% edge rusher. So the fans are split.
That, you know what that tells me, that poll? They're all in on Hassan Reddick. They think Reddick's going to get the job done. If they didn't think that, then the pass rusher would be number one.
Here's a piece of evidence why they may not go pass rusher. Remember what Light said on Iris podcast at the Combine?
Sure, Braswell's going to shock the world.
Shock. So if you really think your second-round pick from last year is going to shock the world, now I'm assuming he's defined shock.
I still can't believe Light said that.
I'm assuming that Light refers to shock as the guy's going to have 12 sacks. Are you really going to be that hot in the pants to get a pass rusher?
I wonder how Bowles looks at Braswell. I wonder.
Well, that's another question.
That's another question.
But there's also, I think, in the back of Light's mind is, man, there's no way I'm paying Hassan Reddick a long-term deal at 32 years old, no matter what he does this year. Because we got other guys to pay, and he's not one of, quote, our guys. Maybe he's thinking Reddick really is a one-year wonder for them.
Especially if Braswell steps
up. A Super Bowl piece. I don't know. It's all...
Well, didn't Light also tell Reddick, hey, if you do good, we'll bring you back?
He did, but he tells everybody that. I don't know. All right, Sage, look, we've got Irv. Right, Irv. Your name is not Irv. Your real name is Ira.
10 years I was Irv for Arthur Blank.
So Arthur Blank, who you used to see when you would go to cover Falcons training
camp. I'd go to Flowery Branch.
For the Tampa Tribune. We don't send you to Falcons training camp, just for
I
the
did
record.
I the Daily Double. Flowery Branch and Spartanburg for the Panthers. That's
and to this day, John Fox loves you.
And John Fox, yeah.
South Carolina. All right. So he's always called you Irv. And I got to meet Arthur Blank with you and talking to Rich McKay at the 2017 owners' meetings.
Again, wow, you remember the year. Unbelievable.
Again, this bizarre billionaires hanging out with slobs event that the NFL is kind enough to host with all kinds of security, snipers on the roof. It's wild. Anyway, I mean, you got a piece of the world's wealth there all in one party.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So Arthur Blank comes over, and you basically, I forgot how it went down, but I got you to ask him, why do you call me Irv? And he looks, Arthur Blank's like 6'3". He looks down at you. He says, you look like an Irv.
I mean, that's a classic response.
There's a Bucks fan out there that has a Twitter handle, Irv Kaufman.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, there's an Irv Kaufman. But wait, this year you could ask Arthur Blank, Ira, point blank, why didn't you pick Baker Mayfield a couple years ago when you had a chance? Do you guys regret that? You could have thrown money
at
him.
That's a
Bucks
good one.
Got him for $4 million. You guys bought Taylor Heineke. Seriously, they did.
You know, you talk about a desperate franchise.
Right,
I think of the Falcons. Because Blank's not getting any younger. He's never won a championship. He should have won one, but they blew a 28-3 lead. I understand that. It was the Brady, you know, so you put an asterisk. It's Brady. But he's desperate. Lee, he's desperate. Last year blew up in his face. Oh, we got Kirk Cousins. We got Kirk.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now to turn into Mike Penix, who might be good.
Yeah.
Lee, he might be good. But he's no Baker Mayfield, not at this point. And they are desperate for a pass rusher.
I don't monitor the Atlanta fans, few that there are. Are they outraged in retrospect that they had a chance to get Bill Belichick and, nah, we're good. We got Raw.
Who knows with Belichick what was really going on. Ira, do you have a parting message for Buccaneers fans?
I do. I make this vow. It's a solemn vow.
Vow.
Do I ever make a solemn vow?
I don't recall.
In between chomping on a donut. Okay. Next week, when we meet, and who knows where we're going to meet, but we're going to meet. We are going to have so much material to talk about because, you know, Steve's going to start firing up stuff on Monday because he's got the AFC coaches, and he's going to get stuff on the Bucks from them because Liam Cohn's going to be around, right? And, Lee, you monitor everything that's going on at the owners' meetings, what other people are saying that could be Buck-related, and there will be. We are going to have a ton to talk about. But you know what? We did a good job today.
Yeah.
And, Lee, forget about August. This is Chamber of Commerce weather.
All right, Sage, we'll see you next week on the podcast. Good times ahead, much more as we count down to the draft. And next time, I'll have donuts.